and Acela, which is something that the County of Monterey is using, and that is getting put together as we speak. We're also looking at putting a $100,000 deposit in our OPEB trust fund. That's, we've got about $2 million in liability there. We're also, a couple of months ago, we established a payment structure for our retirement pension fund, and we're putting a $500,000 payment towards that this year. And we're working with an actuarial right now to determine what ongoing costs should be, and we'll be bringing that to the board. So that's not reflected in the budget, but we're thinking probably around $100,000 a year. Our liability, or latest liability on that, was about $7 million or over $7 million, so significantly more than what our OPEB liabilities are. And then just looking at our grants, these are expenditures that we hope to mostly get spent this year, but they usually go over in additional years. But in our AB 2766 grant program, we're going to be spending about $4.6 million. And like I said, we're going to actually be spending about $3 million for the prior year projects that were approved, and then $1.6 million new. And we expect that to roll over in the following year as well. $400,000, which is our ever popular electric vehicle rebate program. Actually, I should say called the vehicle incentive program. Rebate is not what we're trying to do. We're trying to incentivize. And then we've got $2.05 million for the AB 923 expenditures, and that's our district's plug-in Monterey Bay electric vehicle infrastructure project. So that's, we're looking at shovel-ready projects that are good to go, as opposed to the programs that are initiated by the CDC with the Monterey Bay Community Power. They've actually used about $7 million, but they're going to be looking at funding projects over multiple years. So we're looking for ones that are good to go so we can fund immediately. We'll also put about $2.1 million into the AB 923 grant program. And just to remind you, that's part of the Carl Moyer program. It sort of got extended in 2005 to include additional pollutants such as hydrocarbons and particulate matter, and expanded it to agricultural operations as well as cars and light duty trucks. Also, we'll be having a $1.1 million for our Carl Moyer grant program. And then this is a new farmer program, and that's funds for reductions of emissions in agriculture. And so we hope to be able to spend that money pretty readily. And then another new program, and new as of last year, was the Community Air Protection Program. That's a program funded by the state of California. We'll be receiving about $1.6 million to reduce air pollution in disadvantaged and low-income areas. We have to have public workshops to determine what those projects will look like, but typically electrification of school buses is one way to get at that. We'll look at $1 million for replacement or retrofit of agricultural engines and school buses using the East Garrison offsite mitigation fees that were approved by the expansion was approved by the County of Monterey. And then, as you'll hear in this board meeting as well, we have an additional $1.2 million, if approved by the board, for electric school buses in partnership with Monterey Bay Community Power. So we'll be putting monies alongside matching theirs with some of our programs, and we hope to get at six new buses for that. So there's going to be also the state is putting up $175,000 for wood stove changeout grants. $160,000 of that is available as cash money for incentives to change wood stoves. That's remarkably down from the prior year. We benefited by receiving about $475,000 last year. So That's in the state's cap and trade money account, and we anticipate that they're going to be pulling heavily from that to patch a lot of holes in the state budget. So everything's fair game right now at the California Air Resources Board, but so far it looks like that money has been obligated and encumbered, so I'm not too worried about losing that Woodstock changeout money this year. So we're showing about $128,000 deficit with our general fund. And I think that actually zeroes out because we're anticipating about $160,000 in the budget for instance, fines and penalties. We usually do a lot better for fines and penalties, but if we're doing our job, there's two schools of thinking. If we're doing our job really well, we shouldn't have any violations. But then again, if we're doing our job really well, we're probably going to find a lot of fines and violations. So we do not want to show that as a reliance on penalties and fines to fill holes in the budget. So this being an estimate, I think we're pretty spot on. That's our best estimate at this year. I will point out, though, that in our stationary source program, and you may recall that we were sued over this a number of years back, we're showing a cost recovery rate of 76%, and that's because we did not raise any fees for that program. But we were able to use other grant monies from the feds and as well as the state to supplement the stationary source program, which is allowed. The biggest issue we have with that program is we do not want to make a profit, so to speak, and charge fees that are too high and then end up with a balance in our program for that. So I will say this, right now, because of COVID-19 and people working from home, we've pretty much quashed all training, at least travel and training. Our costs are way down, for instance, for vehicle and gas and that sort of thing for doing inspections. And we did have on the books a purchase of a few vehicles this year, and we're sort of looking at that right now because I don't want to carry a positive fund balance over into next year. If we do, that's fine because we can apply it towards that deficit of $896,000. So of that, we're probably pulling about $100,000 out of the general fund, which you saw mentioned earlier. And then, this is something I talked about a little earlier. With the exception of our CAP fund, the six grants show projected deficits with the assumption that all these outstanding grants will be paid out this fiscal year. That doesn't happen. We're at around 45%, so that we imagine that those projects will continue and we'll be paying for them for the next few years, depending on the project life that the grant specifies. And just a reminder that the committee reviewed a draft of the budget last month, and we were showing those two main things about per capita is not increasing and permit fees are not increasing. And then we held a public workshop in April that was by Zoom. We didn't get any comments. We just recently did receive a letter, and that should be sent to you, but it was from a gentleman in Santa Cruz area that thought that we were woefully underfunding our wood stove program. And so we have not responded to that letter since it was recently received, but I think in his letter, he actually makes a case that those people that really need to change their wood stoves aren't interested in doing that. So it's hard for us to get into a residence to make them change out a stove. In addition, we don't make any money like utilities do to provide for upgrades and replacements of devices. So this money, we have to rely on the state. Although we do have money in our fund balance that could be used down the road. So that concludes an overview of the budget, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. And of course, Rose is here who put the budget together, and she can help explain should I fall down.
Thank you very much, Rich. So we'll just go with questions. We'll start with Director Carbone, any questions you have regarding the draft budget before us?
No questions. I think that the no fee increases due to the COVID was good that we stick with that, and that the per capita of 47 cents is good. On the CalPERS, it's gone from 28.58 to about 33%. Is that equate to about 5% overall on the increase? And just that we're going to be also adding $100,000 to the OPED to be funded.
I'll let Rosa explain the 5%, but on the 100,000, our actuarial, we could get by with a smaller amount. So we, for instance, could probably put in, you know, half that or even and less. But I think to be conservative, that we need to start funding that liability going forward. And if you look at our reserve, we're pretty healthy there. So we've accounted for it and put that amount in our reserve for that purpose.
Yes, no, I'm fine with that there. It's always good to put into your OPEB if you can do it.
Okay, and Rosa?
Yeah, so that OPEB, not the OPEB, the retirement, it did go up about 5%. And that's mostly the classic. The PEPRA went up about 1%, so it wasn't that high, but the classics are pretty high.
And as we get new employees, some of them are not in the classic program, they may be the new, so that's a little bit of savings. So it just depends on the profile of our new hires, whether or not they're in the classic. So it's less for those people that are in the PEPRA or came after the classic members.
Yeah, and we've had the recent retirements, so those were all in the classic category, so we will see savings through that also.
Okay, and then just one other thing. I know that we've talked about under CIP, the roof, so we're going to hold off on that.
Yes, that's a good question. So what we did is we put a little, we backed down our projection for revenues for fees too. So we're not going to be meeting expectations. But what we did is we did increase in our building maintenance additional amount to account for, if we're not going to replace the roof this year, we're going to have a lot of visits by our, it's Primo Roofing right now. I think they've been doing most of the work and they've been patching the roof as we go. So I know with this, just this last rain, we had some leaks that we still have to get them to repair. But yeah, if we forego the roof replacement, which I think the estimate was about $150,000, we are going to have to do more spot repairs on the building.
Okay, thank you.
Great. Thank you, Director Carbone. Director Lopez, any questions for Rich or Rosa regarding the budget?
Rich, just a question about, I know with other organizations, we talked, we're at least having preliminary discussions about salary schedules and, you know, freezes, hiring freezes. And while I don't see that, I hear you talking about some of those gaps and that that we're not going to fill, but I'm wondering if we should take in a position that's more formal on that. And I know obviously there's other labor issues that feed into those numbers, but I think it's important for member agencies. I mean, it's going to start rippling through all the other agencies here soon. So I just want to make sure that we're at least messaging out that that's something that's very realistic, considering where the rest of the state is going to end up with the $1 billion number continuing to climb at the state level in terms of their deficit. So as they look at programming and everything else, we're going to end up on the short end of that. And I'd rather we prepare early.
Right. And to that point, although we don't have a formal declaration, I think the board has made that pronouncement that we have a hiring freeze. The union certainly heard that loud and clear. We could formalize that through a board action, you know, as part of the budget, for instance. But I've tasked the supervisors and managers to look at some potential reductions in force should it be necessary for us to respond to any shortfalls in revenue. And that includes the state grants, as you so rightly pointed out. We've been reminded that the state has said, make sure you get everything encumbered, and once it gets into their system, then the Department of Finance can't come after it. However, they also said, remember, when you sign the contract, all those contracts say that they can terminate at any given time. So we've been sort of warned about that. And we have, for instance, on the DMV, you'll see on a chart when I do the presentation of the board, we're anticipating fewer revenues. Number one, the state in the past has held back some of those monies to plug some budget gaps. And number two, we don't see that people are probably going to be paying their registrations in this economic downturn. They may not be able to afford that. So we expect to be seeing a decrease, even though the use of the automobile is increasing, and we should see a steady, rapid increase in those fees. We expect a decline. And if it doesn't happen, then we're the better for it. But that's a good point. We are looking at potential attrition down the road, as well as a reduction in force should it be necessary.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions, Director Lopez?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay, I would echo Director Carbone's comment on, you know, any increases to our fees and certainly our per capita. So I think that that's good. And I think it might be worthwhile to formalize that freeze and certainly any sort of commentary to the potential to need to cut costs should things get worse. This came on so quick. There is the fear, I think, in a lot of people's bones that there could be additional impacts, and we just need to be ready.
Yeah, to speak to that too, I just occurred to me there's a number of issues besides that. We're looking at the potentiality of the Moss Landing power plant leaving. We know that they've purchased that property primarily for battery storage, and they want to build that facility. And so we haven't had an indication one way or another from them whether or not they will continue that power plant. But I know it's been very tough for them to make a go of it there. They're not getting the contracts. It's been operating at around 20% capacity or less. So we do see the day in the near future that maybe could be next year, could be the following or within 5 years, they may decide to pull the plug on that plant. That represents about $500,000 in revenue. And as we'll go over with the board report, we've been seeing a steady decline in revenue from our sources. Starting with when I first came here, the CMX plant in Davenport, where we lost about $900,000 in revenue. But part of that was the architecture of our fee system, and we were charging the large sources the lion's share of our costs. And when those guys go away, that leaves the burden on the smaller sources, which probably should have been borne a little more all along, because I think some of the larger sources were paying a lot more than they had to. In addition, as you guys recall with the WAMU and all the other investment bankruptcies in the early 2000s, mid 2000s, we lost something like almost $1 million. I know Monterey County lost a $30 million and recovered a lot of that, but we need those reserves in case we see something similar. We've already also backed off our interest estimates for this year, because I don't think we're going to be seeing the returns that we started to see coming back up this last couple of years. So we're trying to be very conservative on this. And yet I will just say this, that air districts, and I hope this is true. I mean, a lot of air districts feel this way. We're a little bit different since we're not looking at general taxes. We do exist with fees and grants. So, I know like programs like AMBAGS programs, they rely on a lot of Fed and state monies too. So those, sometimes if you can protect those, you'll be okay, and we'll weather better than entities or special districts that rely on taxation. So, but we're trying to be very conservative, and I feel confident we have good reserves, and we want to keep those reserves. And that's what we need to tell our employees and make sure the union understands, because they're sort of wanting us to use that to pay for raises and that sort of thing.
Yeah, thank you for the point on Moss Landing. I think that's a huge elephant in the room. So they made an investment not long ago, 10, 12 years ago, in the new power generating facility. You know, and I know it's so efficient and so modern. I mean, I toured it shortly after it was completed, shortly after joining the district board like 10 years ago. And, you know, I couldn't see them pulling the plug on it altogether, Rich. I mean, would they mothball it? And if they do mothball it, do they pay a different fee? Like, I don't know, how prepared is the district to respond to, you know, a further rollback or a mothballing, right? Like, they wouldn't wipe it out, right?
My thought is they would wipe it out. I'm planning on that. Yeah, and I think that they're currently generating in our capacity. And as I said, at least the information that we've gotten from, and they're very tight-lipped about this, but the information we've received is that they're having a really hard time being competitive. And we've sort of helped with that, and I mean the Royal We with Community Power. We're buying lower cost and more renewable energy, and they're not renewable. And so they're having a harder and harder time to remain vital in this this time where energy prices are coming down. You know, but then again, gas and natural gas prices may really hit the bottom too with this COVID-19. So that may help them out in the long run. But I'm planning on them saying we're closing doors, and then they would scavenge those engines to use elsewhere for their other power generation facilities. So it's possible, but you know, there's a lot going on with the ISOs and electricity and how they balance the grid and all that. So they would have to have backup. But I think once the batteries come on, that's going to be a new viable business to help solar power even gain a stronger foothold.
Yeah, don't want to belabor this too long. We can follow up offline. It might be worth having them or inviting them, whether they come or not is up to them, for a future presentation on just the plant, you know, just to help establish things there.
Chair, could I make a quick comment? I know Richard talked about regulatory programs and fees.
Yeah.
I don't want the board to be under the impression that you can just raise fees just to cover whatever, you know, needs you have. Your regulatory fees can only be sufficient to cover the costs of the program that is being implemented. So we have to be very careful about that. They can't be used for general revenue raising purposes.
Wow, very important. Thank you for adding that. Yeah, no, that's an important reminder. Thank you, Les.
There is one exception to that, and that's on our federal air operating permit program. And EPA actually thought that this was going to be the panacea for all air districts, but it has a presumptive minimum that you can charge for per ton of pollutant, and this is for criteria pollutants. You can overcharge. You can make a profit, as it were, to support other air programs with the federal program. But Les is absolutely right, and we endured a lawsuit over this. You cannot, you know, make money essentially on our fee and use it to pay for other programs.
Hence, our fees operate in a deficit every year to cover our butts.
Exactly. It just makes it, I guess I could say I'm lazy too, because I don't want to have to do the accounting if we were to over collect and then try to reflect that in the following year, because we only have less than a month to really see what the true numbers are going to be to react to that. So we'd be guessing times two to see if we were going to make it right. So it's just better to, most districts try to get a cost recovery of 90%. And this year, as you said, because we're not doing the fee increases, will be at about 76%.
Got it. Maybe I had a couple of other quick questions. You know, the grants we administer, like the AB 2766, it seems like so many of them go into a second year. Have we ever considered, you know, changing the scheduling in such a way, or is it good the way it is? You know what I'm getting at?
It's good the way it is, because we certainly wouldn't, we actually look at a project life of usually around 20 years. So we want it to be implemented. And then that's where we're looking at the cost effectiveness of multiple years. So it's not like they have to get it all done in 2 years, but usually a project has to be completed in a reasonable amount of time. And we take that in consideration too. If somebody, well, you may recall with the Santa Cruz Metropolitan Transit District, they wanted to get monies that they wanted us to front monies essentially for a program. Right. And we won't do that. We want to make sure they're ready to go.
Yep, got it. Are people still doing inspections?
Yes, we are doing sort of what we call the virtual inspection. We're teaming up with the industry that we're regulating, and they'll take photos, send copies of their documents and that sort of thing. So we don't visit their facility, but we can do a lot at our desks. That's not a really good substitute, but it's the best we can do right now. And the major things I think we can still track, because the whole thing about inspections is just making sure they're following their permit conditions, and they're supposed to have records and record keeping and reporting that assures they're doing that. So we can find out a lot just by looking at copies of their reports.
You got it. Okay, that's all I had. Any further questions from any of the directors? And I'm assuming nobody from the public has joined or chimed in. No, okay. So this is a action item to provide approval and ultimately recommend approval, right? Is that, do we take a vote on this, Rich?
Yeah, I might defer to Les, but I think you do to recommend the draft budget to the board for approval. We are having one more hearing next month to do the final adoption of the budget.
Got it.
I would concur with that.
Thank you. So is there a motion to recommend approval at this time?
Chair Carbone would like to make a motion for recommendation to bring to the board, to recommend to the full board.
Excellent. Thank you. Moved by
Carbone. Lopez will second.
Seconded by Lopez. Great. So seeing no comments from the public, Ann, would you like to go ahead and call a roll call vote?
Please say yes or no. Steve McShane?
Yes.
Marianne Carbone?
Yes.
Chris Lopez?
Yes.
It carries.
Thank you. So moving on to Rosa, I believe, right, to take a look at the Treasurer's Report for Investments quarter ended March 31st. Rosa?
Right, okay. Hello, so I got the report from the county, and we're still making some money. We didn't drop too much. So we're currently at, for the first quarter, it was a two and a quarter percent yield. And it's lower than the previous quarter, which was 2.32, but it's not too bad. It's about the same. It's lower than last year at the same time. So this is all due to the COVID-19. The treasury bill rate is actually lower. It's at 0.15%. So we're still above that rate. And it shows our portfolio. It's mostly the investments are the U.S. Treasuries, corporate notes, and the overnight liquid assets. So that's all displayed on page 2 of that. And as of this date, we had not received the quarterly investment earnings for the first quarter, but we did receive it just a couple days ago, and it was about $110,000. So it still looks, we're still getting money. We're not in, you know, it hasn't gone too far down, but you know, I'm assuming the next quarter is gonna take a hit, a bigger hit. So all the report is included. So does anyone have any questions on that?
Great. Thank you. This is not an action item. Any questions from any directors? Okay. Seeing none from the public. Great. This is just a report. Thank you very much, Rosa. Moving on to item 6, another report on our OPED trust account for the quarter ending. Go ahead, Rosa.
Okay. So our OPED trust did take a little slight hit. So we started at the last quarter was about $872,000. And that dropped about $132,000 in the first quarter. And this is all due to COVID-19. So currently our balance is about $741,000. So we took a hit of about $132,000 on that. You know, I've been in contact with PARS, and you know, they're looking at their funds and trying to make sure that we don't take as many hits, but you know, there's only so much you can do on there. So those, both of those reports are attached. And then we've got the Highmark balance. This is a report. They're the ones that manage our investments, the Highmark Capital.
That's yeah.
Attached report on there.
Got it. Okay. Any questions regarding the OPED trust? Seeing none from the public. Great. It looks like we have our, let's see, there's an amendment here. This is Rosa as well, right? For our recommended adoption of the resolution approving the budget revisions. Rosa, you want to take that?
Sure. Okay, so in review of our monthly reports, we were looking at our planning division. So we had some, and during last year's budgets, we had a retirement and we had a new person, and both of them were in the planning division. So that's reflected in that adjustment. So we kind of went over budget on the planning division, but we were able to kind of allocate that towards the Fund 20. So we kind of balance it there. I think, you know, kind of, it's going to hit our general fund. It's going to increase our general fund by about 57,000. But this will cover through the general fund undesignated fund balance. We still have a good undesignated fund, about 4.2 million that can cover. There's a couple additional. We did in the AB 923. So we spent a little bit more in the grant. So some of the grants went through, they were completed. So we kind of swapped it out with the professional services, which is also part of the the EV infrastructure. So we swapped it with that. So we're still good. There's no change in that. And then farmer grants, we received additional funding that, you know, we were kind of allocating it for this current budget. So we received it early on. So and we have spent those money. So there's grants that have crossed from last year to this year that were finalized. So we're able to cover that.
Cool. Rosa, quick question for you. Is there a cap on how much staff time we can attribute to grants received under the farmer program? And is it like any of the other grants we receive?
I think it's, so we get admin monies for the programs. So I think it's about 12.5%. I don't know the exact dollar amount, but it was about a little bit over 300,000 that we received, and 270,000 were for the grants. So the rest of the admin.
Okay. Any questions? This is just a report, but obviously recommended adoption of a resolution. So at this point, looking to any of the directors on further questions and ultimately a motion.
Commissioner Carbone here, and I will like to recommend action to receive the report and recommend to the board of directors for approval.
Okay. Is there a second?
Lopez will second.
Great. Okay. Seeing no comments from the public, we'll go to Ann for a roll call vote.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
Please answer yes or no. Steve McShane?
Yep.
Marianne Carbone?
Yes.
Chris Lopez?
Yes.
It passes.
All right. That brings to a close our budget nominating a personnel committee meeting. We got about 15 minutes to go get a cup of coffee or stretch your legs before the real show begins. So thanks for attending, and we'll go ahead and adjourn this and reconvene with our full board of directors at 1:30.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.